But what we're looking at today is Jonah chapter 1. Now, I know that we on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights 1 have actually gone through the book of Jonah, verse by verse, broken it down, looked at some of the things within it. But this is, I really want to talk about the extent of God's mercy. And coming out of what we talked about with Christmas, you know, Christmas Eve and then Christmas night, I talked about God's mercy quite a bit. I talked about that as we talked about peace on earth and God's mercy, in the fact that God's mercy began Christmas Eve. The night that Jesus was born is the night that God's mercy began. And as I thought of God's mercy and thought of where we were going, and honestly have been praying about it, trying to figure out what story shows me God's mercy more than anything else besides Christ being born and his life. And it took me back to the Old Testament. Well, I could talk about Abraham and the fact that God showed mercy and that he said, if you find 50, and he got him all the way down to 10. And yet he still had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because there weren't 10 righteous men. The fact that Cain didn't die after killing Abel. In fact, God protected him so much, so he said, you're going to live with this guilt. But that's another story for another day. I looked at the story of David and I realized, well, we're talking about the story of David on Sunday mornings during Sunday school. So I'm not going to go and rehash that. I've done that before where we've been piggybacking on the Sunday school lesson a lot. But in some ways we are. But we're talking about Jonah. Because the book of Jonah shows the Christian that God is a God of mercy and compassion. God is a God of mercy and compassion. We see it in more than one way. And as we look at this, God is not all about judgment and gloom, but he's a God that is concerned for all people. Now, that's where I hope we can understand and get today as we put this all down and go through it. But the book of Jonah shows us that God's compassion and mercy, it shows us that when Jonah disobeys, when he confesses, when he is reluctant to go to Nineveh, and when he complains to God that he forgave the people of Nineveh. So as we go through the next few weeks, we're going to go through these stories, not only what Jonah didn't do, but what Jonah did do, and look at the mercy of God. And as we go through it, I think we're all going to see that in some ways, we all have a well of a story within us. We all have a Jonah story. We're all very like Jonah in some ways. So when we look at this, how do we respond to disaster, to God's voice, to miracles and leading? Well, we can all be people of a great spiritual depth, but miss what God is doing and what his will is for our lives. So I want us to look at this and I want us to understand this. I want us to really embrace what it's saying here. If it wasn't for the compassion of the Lord, where would you and I be? If it weren't for God's compassion, for his spirit, for what he has done in us, where would we be? Now, when I first really started looking at this and really started breaking it down, I started thinking about all of our shortcomings, all of our ways that we disobey, all the things that we do that are not what God has called us to do, the things that are not necessarily what we should be doing. We have a lot of disobediences within our own lives and a lot of things that God shows us mercy and grace through. And, you know, when we think about that, when we really look at that, the book of Jonah teaches us about God's mercy in the midst of human rebellion. So I'm really just giving an overview to it real quickly, but this is what we're looking at today. It teaches us that God responds quickly with obedience. The moment we decide to align ourselves with God in obedience, deliverance comes quickly and abruptly. It's not something that we see God doing where, you know, in some ways we get wrapped up in the life that God has called us to live. We don't listen very much. But what we see in this is that God will deal with us in his way, his time. But when we're in line with God's spirit and when we're in line with what he's trying to show us, he will deal with us abruptly. He will deal with us quickly. We see that in just the simple fact that the sea became calm the moment that Jonah obeyed. So if you turn to Jonah chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 17 verses for you, which is actually the whole chapter, in case you're wondering. But it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness had come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship governing." Excuse me, "a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare and he went down to it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw his cargo that was on the ship into the sea and to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempestuous. He said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah, they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." That is the first chapter of the book of Jonah. As we look at that, the sea became dead calm the moment that Jonah was thrown in. The moment that he hit the water, the sea became dead calm. And what we see is that not only was God quick and abrupt with his response, he asked Jonah to do something. Jonah refused. Jonah ran. He brought a storm. In that, he then turned around. And when he brought the storm, Jonah knew the only answer. First of all, how can you sleep through a storm that God has brought into your life or allowed to be brought into your life when you're the reason the storm is going on? I don't understand that. How did he have peace to go and sleep? Unless maybe he had been so awake and so exhausted and so tired from running that he finally just fell out and collapsed at that point. Whatever the case might be, what we find in this is that Jonah was going through a difficult time because he didn't want to be where he needed to be. He didn't want to go where he was called to go. And God brought the storm upon the sea. But then out of this, others came to know God as well. We see that in the story. But what we recognize here is that the sea became dead calm when obedience was brought. When Jonah was thrown overboard, the sea became calm because no longer was Jonah on the boat. No longer was Jonah running. But Jonah had been thrown overboard. But not only was that what happened with Jonah, then God provided a way for Jonah to survive. God provided a way for Jonah to survive. He was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. So in this, the message that God gives us is that he responds to obedience. Jonah also teaches that God moves quickly on disobedience, and judgment will follow any believer who decides to live in sin. So this morning, I want to look at Jonah's response to God's call. I want to look at, see what has happened here and what we see. God has given each church a call. He's given each one of us a call. He's given each person in this room a call on your life. And each person has their opportunity to respond. You know, so we talked about it actually not too long ago. I had a sermon series or a couple of sermons say what? I don't know if you remember that or not. But it's kind of that mentality of this attitude of what we're looking at. But that say what mentality, that response that we give to the Lord when the Lord is calling somebody in our lives, he's doing something within us, and we want to run away from his direction and his business. Jonah's response when God gave him direction and the plan for his life was, I don't think I want to do this. He was like, say what? He was like, I don't think that's where you want me to go. I'm going to go and do what I want to do because there's no way you want to save Nineveh. There's no way that I can do what you've called me to do. Jonah, in essence, said to God, he said, I see what you're asking me to do, and I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go and do my own thing. I'm going to go do something else instead. We've all given that response to God because we're unsure of what God is asking us to do, or we don't feel qualified. We don't feel like we're worthy of being able to do that. But God wasn't asking him to do it because he was trying to get Jonah to come around and realize who he was. God asked Jonah to do it because Jonah was the man for the job. Plain and simple. He was the only one that they would listen to. God had a plan for Jonah, and that plan was to go to Nineveh. And one way or another, that plan was going to be carried out. And when God has a plan for your life and it smacks you right in the face and you have a choice, are you jumping on the boat going the opposite way and causing a storm in your life because you're trying not to be obedient to God because you just don't understand that God, there's no way God could have you call for that because you're not qualified? How many times have we not felt qualified for something that came up? And how many times have we turned it down and faced a storm because we didn't feel qualified? How many times have we said, that can't be God's will because I'm not, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I'm qualified for the job that God has called me to do. What can we learn from Jonah? What can we learn so we don't make the same mistake? I believe that there's three areas that we're going to see in this text today. The three areas that we're going to see here that will help us individually, that will help the church, and three areas that will help our families. And it's all part of what God wants us to become. The first is, we consider the commission. And the first six verses is the commission that God has given. You know, he calls Jonah and tells him that he wants to go to Nineveh. He says, arise, go to Nineveh. What's the immediate response that Jonah gives? I'm going to Tarshish. Now, we hear that and we look at that and we think to that. Every one of us is commissioned by God. Every one of us is commissioned by the Lord to go and do something for him. God has called us all to do something for him today. The church has a purpose, and the purpose of the church will not be completed until the church is called. Now, if this church has a purpose and God has not called this church to do that purpose yet, it may be that we have a day coming. Could be that this church has already received the call and we're not listening. It could be that individually we're all needing to get on board with what God's telling us before we can make a step forward. There's a lot of different ways we can look at this. The ultimate reality of it is that the church today has a call. Jonah had a call. Jonah had a call, and Jonah immediately responded. This commission from the Lord was a specific call to duty. Jonah, you're the one I have chosen to go to Nineveh. You must go. No one else can do it. I need you. It's kind of like the old Uncle Sam posters. Remember the Uncle Sam posters? I want you, with him pointing directly at you. It really got the mind working. It really made people think, I need to be over there. there's a commission, there's a call. It's the military aspect and the mentality. Well, Jonah was commissioned. He was called. He was an officer in the army of the Lord. And God said, here is your orders. And Jonah said, no. He said, I don't think that's for me. But what can we learn, first of all, from the commission to Jonah? What can we learn from what God tells Jonah? Because see, wickedness had reached the throne of God. And God was like, you know, this city is in peril. This city needs to turn around. This city needs to repent. I would liken it unto Sodom and Gomorrah, because the sounds of it is that God has heard of this city because their wickedness is so great that it has his attention, that every man in the city is evil, that everything that they do is evil, that the world within that is evil. And he says, this is not my will for this people. And he calls Jonah. But what can we learn from the commission to Jonah? Number one is that God delights in using his people. God delights in using you and I, the random, the underprivileged, the underdogs of the story. He uses his people. He uses us. Evil had reached God's face, and he decided to commission Jonah to preach repentance. That's what he called Jonah to do. Two, there's a specific task for us to do. There's a specific job that God has for us to do. So not only does he delight in using his people, he gives them specific jobs to do. Gives them specific tasks to undertake. Jonah was specifically called by God, and he heard the voice very clearly. You don't believe me? It says this, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Their wickedness has reached my throne. Arise, in other words, get up now. He doesn't say, in a couple weeks, I need you to. He says, get up and go. He says, Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh. And Jonah immediately runs to the dock and does what? He says, I'm getting on a boat to Tarsus. I'm getting on a boat and I'm getting out of here because there is no way God could really want me to go and teach the people of Nineveh. He heard God's voice very clearly. Number three is that we also see it's up to us to either obey or disobey. That's all it is. We're either going to obey God or we're going to disobey God. We've got those two options available in front of us. I'm either going to obey God or I'm not going to. When God places a call on your life, if you're not following the way that God has led you, what are you doing? You're disobeying. You're being disobedient. Jonah was faced with a choice. We don't like what God tells us because we don't like what we hear. We don't like the direction. We don't like the path that he's leading us down. And God's direction for all of us is laid out before us. It's to stretch us beyond our limits, whether we want to or not. See, we've got to understand that today. God's plan for you might be to put you in a place to pull you just beyond your limits so that you have to trust him just a little bit more. If we could all just realize that God has a destiny for us. God has a plan. He has a destination. He has an opportunity. It would put so much of our problems and situations into perspective. I could really understand where I'm at if I just took the time to focus on what God has called me to do. When we get busy with God's business, the focus will shift. We stop thinking about ourselves. We stop thinking about our qualifications, and we just go. And see, this is what Christ came to remedy in us. Christ came to remedy that because man had gotten selfish once again. And here's Jonah. He's selfishly just like the city of Nineveh. Maybe there was a twofold purpose in this. Maybe God called Jonah because he needed Jonah to go through this before he got to Nineveh so that he could say, look, I ran from God, but here I am. I tried to be different, but here this is. But here we are, we're looking at it, and there's this focus that will tend to shift us from our personal business to God's business. And the scripture repeatedly says that if anyone wants to follow the Lord, he must do what? He must deny himself to follow him. You must deny yourself. Jonah did not want to deny Jonah. That's the thing that you see here in chapter 1. Jonah did not want to deny Jonah. It does not mean that we move into a cave of isolation and stay there until we die. It means that we live life under his terms and rules. It's like you get that when you sign up for something on the internet, you get this pop-up window that says terms and conditions, right? And so, like when you first sign up for a credit card or something like that, you have to read these terms and conditions. These are what I will abide by. And then you sign your name at the bottom or you click a checkbox saying, I accept the terms and conditions. Why? Because they want to know that you've read, that they're... You need to know what they're not liable for, and you need to know what you're not liable for when you accept those terms and conditions. When you sign a waiver, if you go to a rock climbing outfit and tell them you want to climb, or a skydiving outfit and you tell them you want to dive, you go skydiving, you sign a waiver that says they're not responsible for your death should something go wrong. Seems simple enough, right? But it removes the responsibility and it gives it to you. They're telling you, you are aware that jumping out of this plane might kill you. And you're signing a paper that says, I'm fully aware of this and I'm making this decision on my own, not influenced by anybody else. Now, if something goes wrong, there's certain things that it probably won't cover, like faulty equipment may not be covered in that waiver. But you're basically saying, I trust that everything is done exactly the way that it should be done, and this is what happened. See, we live life under the terms and rules. It's like when God places a call in our lives and we choose to go, we're signing our initials, we're signing our names to the terms and conditions, and we're saying, okay, Lord, lead me, guide me, show me where I'm going. The Bible encourages us by saying that the just shall live by faith. Living by faith is something that we all will do. It's not sight. It's not human reasoning. It's not anything that's easy for us to do. Faith, the beauty of faith, the thing about faith is that we recognize and we see things differently. I mean, if I told you the wind was blowing right now and you don't see anything moving, you're not going to believe me that the wind's blowing, right? You're going to think, well, what world are you in? But living by faith is, maybe I'm not talking about here. The wind's blowing somewhere in the world today, right now. There's somewhere the wind's blowing. I have faith for that. You know, maybe the factor that I'm sweating right now and I can feel air moving across my face and cooling me down a little bit. There's a small breeze blowing in here. But, you know, and we all hear it. We know what it is. We know it's the heating system. But what I'm really looking at in that and saying that is faith is not in a floor plan, as I've said before. It's not something that is just this boxed thing that we can go to the store and buy and open, and there it is for us. Faith is something that takes real, almost imagination. It's like what we talked about with Blake this morning. You get put in time out, you got to have a good imagination to understand faith, because in your mind, it's really happening. But in reality, with God, it really is happening. But it takes faith for us to see it. Human reason's not going to explain it. God creating the world in 7 days just by speaking into existence. Human reasoning has led us to evolution. Human reasoning, evolution, that's not faith. Faith is that God created the world in 6 days and on the seventh day he rested. Right? Faith is that Noah... You know, God destroyed the world by a flood and Noah was the only survivor. Noah and his families. But yet, there are some who will explain, well, you know, that valley is just a big bowl and it could be that his boat just kind of came to rest on the edge of it and then came down. And it was really just that one part of the world. Because that was the world to them, right? But it's hard for us to really understand. See, the end result of faith, if we're not on guard, will be the same as the outcome as Jonah. We'll run the opposite way to what the Lord is calling us to do. Also in verse 5, what we see says, then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. If Jonah were, you know, in the midst of this storm, were Jonah in the midst of the storm sleeping? He's laying asleep because he just doesn't understand. You know, sometimes church people are asleep and they're unconcerned with the world around them. Sometimes in the church, we fall asleep and we're not concerned with those around us. We're not concerned with where they're at. We're asleep. We're not paying attention. We're not really following through. And I'm not saying that about anybody in here today. I see you smile. I'm not saying that it's literal sleep. I'm saying it's a spiritual sleep. We're spiritually asleep in here today. Spiritually, we are broken. And honestly, we get to a point where we can become complacent with where we are, with where others are. Jonah knew he was a problem. Why? Because Jonah knew he was running from God. The storm comes, so what does Jonah do? He goes and falls asleep. Why? Because when you're asleep, you're oblivious to what's going on around you. When you're asleep, you don't hear the things that are happening. When you're asleep, you don't feel those things. How many times have you ever driven home really tired and then you get home and you're like, how did I get here? I mean, I can count multiple times in my life where that's happened. And you're thinking, well, God must have led me where I'm going. But how many times, I mean, how many of you in here can honestly say that last night when you were asleep, you remember everything that happened from the moment you laid down to the moment you got up? Or did you fall asleep and wake up this morning when the alarm went off and realize, hey, I got a good night's sleep. Hey, it's been 8 hours. Hey, it's been 4 hours. It's been 5 hours, whatever it might have been. That's probably more likely. You don't know what happened around you while the world was asleep, right? I mean, if you go to sleep and then you wake up the next morning, turn on the news and something's happened overnight, you don't remember it happening because you didn't see it happen. I mean, it's like if you were to fall asleep tonight and then tomorrow morning wake up and it says there's been an earthquake. Well, if the earthquake didn't wake you, how many times have you heard something on the news and you go, oh man, I wanted to experience that. Maybe a tornado ripped through town, but you missed it because you were asleep. You see, those are the things that we talk about here. But if we think about that and we think about how and all of that is, you know, it's hard for us to get into this predicament when we are asleep to God's direction and purpose for our lives. It's hard for us to not find ourselves in a world of trouble, to not find ourselves in a situation. And, you know, when we think about that, when we look at that, let's all strive to do what God has commissioned us to do. Jonah was commissioned, and we've been commissioned. We've been set apart as individuals and as a body of believers. Each one of us has a role to play within this body, and this body has a role to play within the kingdom. That's the ultimate reality of what church is. It's the ultimate reality of what life is. The second thing I want us to consider is the control. Verses 7 through 10, we read about it, but they then go to casting lots. Consider the control. Verse 7 shows us that God is in control. It was not by chance that the lot fell on Jonah. Immediately when the lot fell to Jonah, what did they do? They looked at Jonah and said, tell us why we're here. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what you've done or what you know. The lot fell to Jonah. Why? Because Jonah was aware of the situation. Jonah knew what was going to happen. God was in control of Jonah and his disobedient decision. God was in full control of the situation. And in Daniel 4:17, it says, the decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. Daniel talks about the sovereignty of God, and God gives ownership. He gives ability. He gives the need to those that need it. God is the one who is sovereign. God is the one who says what will happen and how it will happen. So God is in control of Jonah. And God's mercy is at work when we disobey. God was still working on Jonah and didn't give up on Jonah, even though Jonah was running, even though Jonah was trying to get somewhere else. Jonah didn't understand, but make no mistake about it. God will never give up on you. God will never give up on who you are. He called Jonah to do something, and he didn't allow Jonah to get away without it. It may be that he tried to run from it, but God continued to pursue. God continued to push. God said, I have a job for you, and you're the one that can do it, the only one that can do it, and I need you to do it. You are the one I've qualified. Even though Jonah didn't feel qualified, God had a plan for Jonah. So instead of running from God and thinking that we're in control, let's willingly give ourselves over. Let's willingly allow ourselves to be used. Let's willingly give ourselves to what God is calling us to be. And he gave them the answer as to how to calm a storm. Immediately he gave the answer, and he said what? He said, throw me overboard. Immediately he gave the answer and said, throw me overboard. Throw me into the sea. I will calm the sea. Just throw me in. I'm the one who turned my back on God. I'm the one who said I wasn't, you know, good enough to do what God had called me to do. I'm the one who said I needed to be here or there. He said, I'm the one. And God said, you're right, you are. And the men finally, they didn't even want to do it at the time. But he told the men who he was. He told them what he had been called to do. But here's the thing. Let's all have that same mindset. We need to have that same mindset today. When troubles come, we need to understand, look at your own life and say, am I the cause? Am I the reason? Am I the one who has fallen asleep in the Lord? Am I the one who has told the world that I didn't want to do what God has called me to do? And the third thing today is to consider the consequence. The next seven verses talk about the consequences of Jonah's reaction. To talk about the consequences, even to the point where these men who wanted to believe in Jonah were like, look, you say throw you overboard, let's pray and ask, you know, let's continue trying to get through this first. We're not going to take a man's life because he didn't follow the way that he was called to follow. The church doesn't understand that today. There are people who run to the church for shelter when God has asked them to do something else. But we're in the business of throwing people out of the church quicker than we can bring them in. These men showed compassion to Jonah by saying, look, we're not going to kill you. Your blood is not going to be on our hands. Now, was it selfish or whatever? That's neither here nor there. But God works through all situations. He works everything out for the good of his kingdom in all situations. And we have a great storm that is getting worse by the minute. The sailors are doing everything in their power to save their lives. They're doing everything in their power to save Jonah's life. They're doing what they can to save the ship. They've thrown their cargo overboard. Most likely they had cargo that was meant to make them money, and they threw it all overboard trying to figure out how to save the ship. They were doing everything in their power to fix the problem. And this is the way that the world solves its problems, by relying on self. The world likes to rely on self. The world likes to tell you, fix it all. Throw this out of your life. Throw that out of your life. Turn your life around. Self-image. Self-gratification. That's the way to fix the world around you. But when Jonah told them what they needed to do to fix it, they still tried to do their own thing. They still tried to fix it with what they knew, with the worldly knowledge that they had. That's not what they were supposed to do. But we're no different. We can take a lesson from that today. We can read scripture, hear messages from speakers, and still not act upon what we have heard. We can still not act upon the grace that we know about, the mercy that's been shown. We still don't act on it because we want to refuse to think that it has anything to do with us. When storms come that threaten to break up our lives, how do you respond? How do you respond to the storms that come in your life today? There's always an answer, and that is to trust in God's timing and trust in his protection. You see, the world will look at you and say, the way you are handling your situation is wrong. You need to do something. I deal with this on a daily basis. I deal with this struggle daily. The world around me, constantly. You got to fix this. You need to do that. You need to do this. Well, you're not taking good care of yourself. You're not doing this. Well, you're miserable because of that. Well, I wasn't miserable till you told me I was miserable. But now that you bring it up, yeah, maybe I am a little bit. But the reality is why am I buying into what they're saying anyway? They didn't call me to do anything in my life. God did. God called me to be at a place where I am today. The man or the woman of God responds to crisis differently than the world. And we need to understand that today in the church. His compassion used Jonah's disobedience to save the crew of people who were telling Jonah, no, he was wrong. Jonah said, I'm the problem. Throw me overboard. And what did they say? No, we're going to fix this another way. How many times when we realize we're the problem and we go and speak to someone, does their response come back of, well, let's try this. And it's like, no, God needs me to do this. And that person says, no, that can't be right. We've got to do it this way first. How many times in your life have you felt the call from God, but you've listened to the answers of others because they knew better? Well, I've been there. But in the midst of it all, you're thinking, they don't even understand me. They don't even know what I'm going through. They've never done this. They've never been there. God wanted Jonah thrown over because Jonah was no longer in control. Jonah was no longer in control of the decision he was making. And the crew can see the power at work when they obey. The power of God was revealed to the crew on the boat when they threw Jonah overboard. And I want to conclude it this way. I really want to just wrap it down this way. God has a commission for our lives, and in order for our destiny to be fulfilled, we need to let God have control. Plain and simple. We need to stop trying to take it, and we need to give it where it's due. Jonah was thrown out of the ship because God needed to be in control. If you're thrown overboard on a ship, you're at the mercy of the sea, right? No matter what kind of swimming Jonah could do, no matter anything Jonah could handle, Jonah was going to die in that water. Calm or not, he's far from land. How do I know? They hadn't made it to land yet. They continued to strive to get there. Nothing could get them there. Jonah would not make it back to land. The crew got saved because God was in control, not man. The crew was saved because God said, trust me. Jonah said, trust that God will save you. Throw me in the water and it will be calm. And it was. Because why? The lot fell to Jonah. Why did the lot fall to Jonah? Because God was in control. And it was Jonah who had been called and run. Jonah gave his testimony in verse 8, but the crew got saved, not on his testimony, but when they put the control in God's hands. The crew was saved when Jonah was thrown overboard. Jonah gave his testimony, but it wasn't until the men threw Jonah overboard that they were saved. Have you put God in charge of your life today? Have you put your family in chaos? Is there troubles? Are there struggles with your finances? Are you going through a storm that is threatening to break up your life or your family? Do as Jonah did. Be willing to be thrown into the sea. Be willing to be thrown overboard. Be willing to allow yourself to let God be in control. Because when we give control to God, we really are not giving him anything. We're just relinquishing to the fact that he's already in control, and we're acknowledging. You see, it's not anything about a decision you made on that part. God is in control of your life. It's you acknowledging that God has the reins and the control. The reason there's a storm is if the water in a river is going a certain way and you're trying to walk against it, it gets hard, right? There's rushing water going one way, you're trying to go the opposite way. Or maybe you're trying to bring a boat and row a boat upstream. It's a whole lot easier to turn around and just go with the river, right? It's a whole lot easier to go with the flow. Well, imagine that river is God's will for your life. It's flowing in the direction he wants you to go. And here you are fighting upstream. Here you are fighting against the currents, fighting against everything that God is trying to bring in your life. And all you need to do is turn around and go with his flow. That's ultimately what we see in the life of Jonah. Do as Jonah did. Be willing to be thrown overboard so that God can be in control. Because God is not going to force himself on anyone, but wants us to be willing to say, take it and throw me overboard. It took Jonah saying, I'm the problem. Throw me out. It took Jonah recognizing, I'm the situation. I'm the problem. I'm the circumstance that you need to get rid of. And saying, I recognize that I'm the issue. Throw me overboard. It's when we come to the realization that it's us that needs to be changed, that needs to be thrown out. Only when Jonah was thrown overboard did the storm become calm. And we're going to continue this through the next couple of weeks. But only when we're willing to be thrown overboard can we calm the storm sometimes. Because it's when we truly give every bit of control to God as he needs it. It's not that we have recognized that God's in control, that we have thought that God wasn't in control, or that God showed us that he wasn't in control, whatever the case might be. The reality is that God's always been in control. It's us acknowledging that God has the control, and that is us relinquishing the fight. It doesn't mean that God wasn't in control to begin with and we finally turned it over to him. It doesn't mean that we were in control to a certain point. It means that we were never in control, but we thought we had it. We were fighting against it. We were fighting against the flow, and God finally won. And we said, okay, I give. I'm acknowledging that you, Lord, have the control of this situation. You, Lord, are in control of my life. You, Lord, need me to be thrown overboard. Not only so you can save those who see me, those that see this happen, but also so that you can save me from myself. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity again to come into your house this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to see you move in a mighty way. Lord, help us to find that inner Jonah and recognize that we need to be thrown overboard for you. Lord, that we need to recognize your authority in our lives, that we need to acknowledge you today, that Lord, your will can be accomplished in our lives. Father, go with us, lead us, direct us, continue to show us your glory today. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to see you move in a mighty way. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the power, and the praise today. We pray these things now in the holy, precious, and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.